Hi, I'm Pat Kelly.
And I'm Peter Oldring, and we're the hosts of This Is That.
Are you kidding?
For over a decade, we were radio's go-to source for completely fabricated news.
You must be joking me.
And now, we're back in podcast form.
We've selected some of our favorite stories from over the years and put them in one convenient location.
Sugar in the tap water.
Bilingual dog park. Charging to see wildlife.
This Is That, coming soon on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
And welcome to Laugh Out Loud. I'm your host, Ali Hassan, and today we'll be playing brand new sets from comedians we recorded live earlier this year. This first performer is a guy who has really established himself as one of the funniest storytellers around. He's been a Just for Laughs favorite, and his album Tigra King was nominated for a Juno Award for Best Comedy Album. From the Schenckman Center in his hometown of Ottawa, here is Hisham Kaladi.
I am so excited to be back in my hometown of Ottawa performing stand-up. I'm so excited. Thank you so much. I don't tell anyone, but I took a sick day from work to come from Toronto to do this show. So just in case my boss is listening. That's for later, guys. I'm a storyteller, and my favorite thing to do is to tell stories about my favorite person ever, my mom. Yes, I am this cute in real life. To give some context before I get into the stories, I'm originally from an East African country called Eritrea, and our claim to fame is last year, the United Nations officially declared us the most unconquerable country in the world. Thank you so much. We've killed every colonizer who showed up. We're officially 12 for 12, guys. Our national motto is no war, but no peace either. And I left where I was very young. I was a refugee to Canada. I came to Canada when I was 4 years old. My mom grew up and lived there and had a whole life there. And it's made her a very tough, no-nonsense woman. My mom is a black, Muslim, African, single mother refugee, all at the same time forever, okay? When God was giving out disadvantages, my mom was like, one of everything, like, you know? It's a very tough, no-nonsense woman. And people are like, what's your mom's whole vibe like? I'm like, imagine the rapper Ice Cube wearing a hijab, okay? It's my mom's whole life. He's a very tough, no-nonsense woman. When I was little, I always dreamed about being a comedian, and I was just trail after my mom. I'm like, Mama, my dream is to be a comedian. And my mom would just look at me and go, Hisham, dreams are for sleep. Okay? Tough, no-nonsense woman. My favorite thing was I got nominated for a Juno for Comedy Album of the Year last year, and It's okay, guys. I lost. It doesn't matter. I lost the Juno and then just went back to work. Canadian entertainment! But, it was a big deal. It's a bucket list item for every comedian in Canada. I was so excited. I just wanted to tell my favorite person. I went to my mom. I'm like, Mama, your boy's doing all right. He got nominated for a Juno. And my mom just goes, what is Juno? And I'm like, oh, how do I explain this to my mom? I'm like, it's a Canadian Grammy. And my mom, with absolute immigrant mother earnestness, just went, Hisham, why not real Grammy, okay? Tough, no-nonsense woman. But ever since lockdown in March 2020, a switch went off, and my mom became a completely different person. When lockdown came up, I guess you remember when Prime Minister Trudeau would come on and do his national addresses, and it was the first time COVID was a thing, and he's like, guys, something happened like COVID-18, 19, I don't know, it's the new Ebola. We don't know what this disease is like, we're not going to take any chances, we're going to shut down the country, everyone just stay home. And all my mother saw was the leader of her country telling her to stop working, and my mom goes, okay, I retire. And then just started watching The Price is Right. And I'm like, Mom, there are steps. There's paperwork to fill out. You can't just say I'm retired. She goes, Hisham, I retire. And since then, she's been on this whole eat, pray, love adventure. And it has been a detriment to my life. First thing my mom did when lockdown happened was she hacked my Amazon Prime account. And I wasn't even mad. I was impressed because my mother is the most technologically deficient person I've ever met in my life. She still uses a Motorola Razr flip phone because, and I quote, I don't trust white government, okay? But she hacked my Amazon Prime account and she started buying herself things, but she didn't know I got all the receipts. So I just open up my email one day and they're just 17 Amazon purchases. And I call her and I'm like, Mama, you know this is technically theft. She goes, no, this is present from my son. Click, that's a whole call. And I'm not even mad. I'm like, oh, she's my mama. Of course, I just start looking through all her purchases. The first thing my mom did was she bought 5 black Adidas tracksuits and 5 black hijabs to match. And now she looks like the most halal Russian gangster you've ever seen. And she's trying to turn her life around, and she's sending me these videos of her jogging, and I'm so excited she's taking care of herself. She's living her better life. I'm so proud of her. I just wanted to hype her up. I'm like, Mama, you're just like Rocky. But my mom did not get the reference. She thought I was insulting her. She goes, I am not rock. I am mountain. Again, tough, no-nonsense woman. And like most people who retire, she spends all her time watching reality television shows. And I don't know if you guys know this. If you download any Amazon app, all the other ones go through. So my mom got Amazon Prime, and she's watching all these videos, and she made herself a little account. I'm like, okay, let's go see. And then I just checked in, and she goes, half a cooking show, half a Real Housewives. But she binge-watched 30 seasons of Survivor in 2 years. I didn't even know the show was still on the air. And I'm like, I'm trying to figure out, I'm like, what is it about the show that like clicks with my mom? I'm like, Mama, why do you love this show so much? And she just sent me the Amazon commercial, and all it is 20 white people starving on a beach, competing for food. And my mom was like, this forever, okay? And I thought, I'm like, oh, maybe she likes, like, I don't know, maybe she likes the competition. Maybe she enjoys the exotic locales. It reminds her of her home back in East Africa. No. My mom's favorite thing is to heckle the contestants. She's like, 2 days no rice. They cry like baby. And I didn't think it could get any wilder, but I didn't know this. About a year ago, Survivor opened up the contestant pool to now allow Canadian participants, and my mom went crazy. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Maybe your immigrant friends will attest to this, but every immigrant has a suitcase in the basement filled with family secrets, okay? And in my case, my mom has been saving up 30 years of Canadian Tire money that she immediately went and cashed out and built a home gym in the garage. And one time I went to go visit her. I had a gig out in Barrhaven. I went to go visit her, and I didn't see her in the house, and I just heard grunting from the garage, and I just opened up the door, just a crack, and there's just my mom dressed in her full tracksuit, just doing pull-ups. And each time she does a pull-up, she goes, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the most terrifying part of it was completely in the dark. I'm like, this is a bit much. And last year, for Muslim Christmas, my mom tried to get me to buy her an adult obstacle course for your backyard. It's got ropes, it's got like a giant tire, it's got monkey bars, there's even a sand pit for you to crawl through. And my mom goes, please, Hisham, buy this for me. I'm like, why? She goes, so I can train for Survivor. And I was like, absolutely not. She goes, why? I'm like, imagine your neighbors, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, just opening up the window to see you dressed like a ninja, just crawling through the sand. And he's just going to go, Darlene, I think Mamina's training for ISIS. There's no way to explain it, guys. There's no way to explain it. If you don't laugh, you're racist, guys. And I did not think that my mom could go over the edge any further. But last summer, I went to go visit her again. We're having dinner. We're just chilling out. We're watching Survivor. And my mom just turns to me and goes, Hisham? I'm like, yes, mama? She goes, I want a companion. And the first thought to go through my head was, is my mom asking for help to hook up? I'm like, okay, I guess this is my obligation as the firstborn son to help my mom find a husband. I'm like, okay. And this was my master plan. I was just going to call a couple of Ubers to the house and just see if they're good dudes. But listen, hear me out, okay? Uber is the best dating app for single immigrant Muslim moms, okay? There is, first of all, a 75% chance the driver is Muslim, okay? Mexican, Arab, Australian, probably still Muslim. And it's literally built like a dating app. Like, there's a little bio and his picture. It goes, oh, he's a good listener and knows four languages. Like, there's a little thing. Like, and you can judge him by how nice his car is. There is a rating system built into the app. Give me one star for bad boy. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, mama, like, if you really want a husband, she goes, I don't want husband. Men are trash. I want dog. I'm like, excuse me? She goes, yes, I want the dog. I'm like, are you having a stroke right now? Like, what's... My mom is so halal. If she sees a beer bottle, she passes out. Like, this is insane to me. I'm like, okay, you want a dog? Okay, that's fine. Like, and I tried to explain to her. I'm like, okay, it's Ottawa. There's no, like, breeders or private owners. It's just two humane societies, one on the West End, one on the East End. I'm trying to explain to my mom. I'm like, you know, maybe you want to get, like, a younger dog with no health issues. Maybe we'll try to Google some good breeds for you. She goes, no, I have test. I'm like, oh, what's your test? She goes, let's go. I'm like, okay. So we get in the van, we drive out to the Humane Society in the West End. And this is my mom's entire test for the dog. She would find a dog, she would square up and just go, ah! And if the dog flinched, she would just go, too weak, and then move on. I'm like, what do you do? Like, why? I'm like, what is this? She goes, I need a strong dog. I'm like, why? And this was her legitimate answer, to protect me from my enemies. I'm like, okay, and she just screamed at 37 dogs that were absolutely petrified, and we're just like, so let's go. And we just got into the van, and we drive all the way to the East End, and as we walk into the Humane Society, they have like that volunteer high school kid, she's just like some young girl, blue hair, million piercings, and as me and my mom walk in, she's on the phone, and as we pass her by, I literally hear her say, they're here. Like, and all these dogs are like, what the hell is happening? Finally, we find this beautiful 11-year-old Doberman named Jasper. I didn't know he had been abandoned because his owners had passed away, and I didn't know that, like, no, most people don't want senior dogs, so, like, he was just going to live the rest of his life out in the pound. It's very sad. And my mom goes, squares up, she, like, rattles the cage, she just goes, ah! And this dog doesn't flinch. He just squares up and goes, would you call me? Huh? Would you call me? My mom goes, he is strong, I take. That was it. The girl with the blue hair opens up the cage. She goes, do you want a leash for him? She goes, no, he will follow me. And as my mom walks out, the dog is just by her knee, just so obedient, just following out to the van. Then we get there, I open up the thing. I'm like, oh, you know, but, you know, I'll secure him in the back. We don't really have a cage or anything. She goes, no, I will sit with him, you drive. I'm like, okay. So we're driving, I'm seeing him in the rearview mirror. She's just hugging Jasper. She's giving him kisses. He's so happy. And she didn't know this, but I could hear her. She's speaking Arabic. And I literally heard my mom go, you are my new son. We get to the house, and I'm like, oh, you want to, like, maybe stop by PetSmart? We can get him a crate or stuff. She goes, no, it's okay. I buy later. I'm like, okay. And I literally just go to the Airbnb. I take the flight back to Toronto. I wake up the next morning to, like, 7 Amazon receipts. My mom has bought him a new crate. She's got him cushions. She's got him halal dog treats. I'm like, okay. I don't see my mom until last year's Christmas. It's 6 months when she got the dog. I'm so excited. I come home. I come inside. I give her a big hug. She's on the couch watching Survivor. She's having a great time. And just chilling beside her on the carpet in a sunspot is Jasper. He looks healthier. He's fatter. He's so happy. I give him a big hug. I'm like, Jasper, come here, buddy. Come here. He's completely ignoring me. He's really taking the position as the new son to his head, you know? I'm so bummed. He goes, oh, it's okay, Hisham. It's okay. And my mom goes, Kalb. And he looks up. She goes, Tal. The dog walks over to her. She goes, Ijlis. And he sits down. And I'm like, did you train the dog in Arabic? She just goes, yes, of course. I'm like, why? And she said the most gangster thing ever. She just went, so no one else can control my dog. And she goes, look, 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 look. I'm like, why? She goes, assalamu alaikum. And he gives a paw to say hello. I'm like, this dog's a better Muslim than me. And I'm just so excited. I'm like, you know what? I've always wanted a dog. It's so exciting for my mom to have one. I'm like, okay, you know what, mom? I'm going to take Jasper out for a walk. We'll bond. We'll become brothers. We'll become best friends. I put the leash on. I'm trying to get him to go. I'm like, come on, Jasper, come on. And he's looking at me completely confused. He just keeps looking at my mom and me. She goes, his name is no more Jasper. I'm like, why? She goes, I changed his name. No more Jasper. I'm like, why? She goes, well, I am Muslim, so now he is Muslim too. She even got him like a little dog-sized prayer mat. Every time she goes up and down to pray, he just follows her up and down. I'm like, this dog's getting to heaven before me. This is... And I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? She goes, well, he is Muslim now, so I give him new, strong Muslim name. I'm like, oh, what's his name now? And with a complete straight face, my mom goes, his name now is Jihad. I was like, what? Are you kidding? No! I forbid it! I'm like, imagine my mom dressed head to toe like a ninja at a dog park just screaming, Jihad! Jihad! There's white people diving out of the way. She goes, I am not stupid. Inside Jihad, outside Gigi. No problem! Guys, I'm Anish, I'm there. Claudia, thank you so much. Have a great night.
Recorded live in Ottawa, that was Hisham Kaladi. You can find his Juno-nominated album, Tiger King, spelt Tigre King, online now. One quick announcement. On Saturday, June 8th, we'll be part of the Big Sound Comedy Festival. And we're returning to a spot that has become one of our favorite venues in this country, the Stocky Center in Parry Sound, Ontario. The night will feature some terrific comedians, including Al Val, Ryan Dillon, Keisha Brownie, and more. And your headliner is one of the funniest performers in this country, Dave Hempstead. Head to our website for all the details and to reserve your seats. This will be our third time in Parry Sound, and the show sells out every year.
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart McLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of The Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at The Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's get back to the comedy. We're very excited to have this performer on our show. He was nominated for a Best Newcomer in Stand-Up Award when he started his career over a decade ago. And since then, his signature comedy style has garnered all the right attention all over North America. Here is Tom Henry.
Thank you. How's it going? Sounds really good. My friend was drinking one of those non-alcoholic beers recently. He's like, you should try it. It's really good, you know? I go, yeah, I don't want to do that. I wouldn't want to drink one of those, first of all, because I like to get drunk, you know? But second of all, if you spilled it on yourself, you'd still smell like a drunk, even though you're not one. And then you have to explain to people, you know, you have to be like, no, you don't understand. I'm like a different kind of loser. Thank you. Great start. I saw this lady on the street the other day. She was wearing a shirt that said, I'm 99% sure my soulmate is a dog. I was like, I feel like with a shirt like that, we can rule out that other 1%, you know? Then I was wondering, like, do you think she already knows that dog and feels real good about it? Or she's still looking for that perfect dog? Because if she is, she might scare away a lot of good dogs with that shirt, you know? A little bit desperate. I saw this other guy wearing a shirt, if you can believe that. His said, "Don't talk to me until I've had my coffee." I was like, how the hell am I supposed to know? I don't drive that much, but I do like to walk around, you know? Sometimes when I'm walking around, I like to look up at the speed limit sign anyway. And then I just go, ah, yeah, no problem. Not gonna get any trouble out of me on that one. I noticed that a lot of guys who drive convertibles wear little ball caps, you know? You seen that? Yeah. I think it's weird, you know, because it's like they gave up one roof. For a smaller roof, I guess. Can you imagine if you met the first person who was trying to sing? You'd be like, why are you talking so weird, man? Thank you. That's the whole joke. I think violinists are weird, you know these people? I feel like if, you know, you had your whole pick of instruments to choose from and you choose the one that you have to play with your chin. Like they put all the instruments in front of you and you go, give me the one that looks like I'm like busy, like my hands are full and I'm on the phone. I noticed that a lot of people mix up the word antidote with anecdote. I think that would especially suck if you did get bit by something poisonous, you know? Some guy just starts telling you a real boring story. I gotta respect whoever named that product. I can't believe it's not butter, you know that thing? I got respect for whoever named that because most products, you know, the title of the product is like one or two words. But this guy's like, nah, I need a whole sentence for this one. And then he used a whole sentence and he didn't even tell us what the product was. He actually just told us exactly the one thing it is not. I was talking to somebody recently, you know, and they go, well, you know, the truth is in the pudding. I was like, what are you, some kind of idiot? We all know the saying is the proof is in the pudding, right? We all know that makes perfect sense. We all know the feeling of looking down in our pudding and seeing the proof. What are you talking about, the truth? I was doing this really boring paint-by-number the other day, you know? It's true. Yeah, it turned out to be a Sudoku. I was crossing the street the other day, and there was a crossing guard there. I don't know when they decide to come out, but sometimes they're there. And they're kind of looking me in the eyes, you know, it seemed like they sort of wanted to thank you for their service. And I did thank them, but I just hope they know, like, I do that alone all the time, you know? I think a calendar is a nice gift, you know? At Christmas, people like to give calendars. I think a calendar is a really nice gift because, say you know somebody who really likes somebody something, you know? Like, say they really like cats. You get them a cat calendar, you know? And it's nice for them because then they can very slowly look at 12 different pictures of cats. It's nice if you don't have a computer or anything like that. I get really bad hangovers when I drink. I can always tell that my hangovers are worse than other people's from the hangover advice they give me. People be like, ah, don't worry about it. Go get a nice greasy brunch, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, cool. Do you know any good brunch spots where like they feed you while you writhe around on the floor? Nobody's allowed to talk. I was talking to this Italian guy recently. He was kind of freaking out because we put chicken on pizza here. He said, that's not right. And I was like, yeah, maybe you're right, but you're wearing like this little fedora hat. So I don't really want to hear from you. Especially about what things go good on top of other things. You know? I think it'd be hard to be gay, you know, because maybe you're out on a date with a guy and then he gets cold and you want to be a gentleman, so you give him your jacket. But then everybody just thinks it's his jacket. Like I'm the one that underdressed, you know? I was watching this science show, and on the science show, they're like, did you know that you could fit a million of the Earth into the sun? And I was like, who cares? Some things are just bigger than other things, you know? I don't sit around all day trying to figure out how many M&Ms would go in my head, you know? I have this healthy friend, and she gave me a cupcake the other day, and I ate it. And then afterwards, she goes, I bet you couldn't tell that the icing on that cupcake was made out of beets. And I was like, you're right, I could not tell. But I could tell that it really did not taste very good. Thank you all very much. It's been a journey.
That is Tom Henry, and you can find his comedy special, 66 Jokes, on Crave Television right now. And that is our show. My thanks to the Schenkman Center for the Arts, the Icebreakers Comedy Festival, sound engineers Conrad Hijazi, Jonathan Roida, Roberto Capretta, and Juliana Romanek. And a special thanks to my producer, Lee Pitts. And finally, thank you for listening to Laugh Out Loud on CBC Radio 1. My name is Ali Hassan. I'll see you back here real soon.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.